Okay, this is Tom LaFord, Assistant Commissioner for the Department of Water Management, and we're talking about South Lowe. Now, we're hoping for James Allen to join us, but in the meantime, we have Dwayne Hightower, who's the Deputy Commissioner for Distribution, and we also have Sid Osakata, who's our head sewer designer. I'm sure I'm getting the titles all wrong, and Tom Mendoza, who's Tom, why don't you give us your title? I know you're the best underground engineer in the world.
I'm an engineer technician six.
Okay. And Gary Litherland, who works with me in public relations. And we've been to South Lowe a few times and been looking at it in terms of specifics of how people can prevent basement flooding. And maybe we should start with Dwayne. Have you had a chance to look at 311 calls and the history of what's happened on these blocks?
Yeah, Tom. From what I can see, the majority of the call, I mean, since 2010, we've only had four water in the basements. This looked like a multi-unit facility here, if I'm not mistaken, because the majority of what I see here is illegal restores. They're turning on... the water is being illegally restored. You know, we've turned the water off dating back to January of 2010 in the 8807 block of South Lowell, and that's basically what we've what water management has done. We've done a few sewer cleanings going back to 2010-2011. But for the most part, we've only had a total of four water in the basements there.
Okay, and when you mention illegal restores, I assume that what you're talking about is a situation where, for whatever reason, usually non-payment, we turn off the water, and then the resident figures out how to turn the water back on and does so. And if we find that, or if it's reported to us by another neighbor or whatever, we then go out and make it impossible for the restoration to
be
done again.
That's correct, Tom.
Okay. And that has nothing to do with basement flooding, and certainly not the reason
no,
we're on
no,
the block.
No, not at all. Just trying to give you pretty much a history of what's been on the block there.
Okay.
No water in the basements, no very, very few sewer cleanings, just four water in the basements from January 2010 on up until June of 2012.
Okay, and the only other thing that I'd like to make clear to anybody who listens to this is that we did not discover the illegal restorations in the course of our flood prevention work. That's an entirely separate matter, and it wasn't that we were on the street, noticed people helping themselves and crack down or anything like that.
This was us coming in through 311, Tom.
Okay, got it. Okay. And when we were talking about only four water in the basement, so I've been to the block club meetings and even a block party, I believe, in this along these stretches and in the 87 to 8900 block of South Lowe, and there were more people who had experienced flooding, and that sort of points up the idea that people need to be calling 311 whether they need a city service or not if they flooded. There's two big reasons for that. Number one is that we don't know that there's a problem there unless people tell us there is. And
correct.
When we go to allocate resources or to respond to heavy rains, that kind of thing, we have no clue if there's not been any reports. If there's only been four reports, we're going to go to a place where there's been 12 reports or 15 reports or you know, a higher number that illustrates a larger problem. And the second is that when we're planning capital improvement projects, that's a factor in terms of what we pay attention to. And when the city's going for federal disaster relief funds or declarations of disaster, that kind of thing, we need to be able to show the scale and depth of the problem, and we can't do that if people aren't calling. Does that pretty much exhaust the topic as far as you're concerned, as far as street operations go, Dwayne?
Yes, sir. Actually, there's a total of six, Tom, to be
okay.
To me, yeah, as more as six as opposed to four.
Okay.
One in the basement, yeah.
Tom Mendoza, you and I have walked the streets and been available to people to come out and ask questions. What were your observations on the street?
Well, Tom,
you have to speak up a little bit. You're a little faint right now, Tom.
My My thing here is that the residents should actually, if all possible, disconnect their downspouts. They have some trees in the area. There could be possible tree roots in their drains. What we have done for them, though, is we have cleaned the main sewer from 87th to 89th Street. We cleaned it thoroughly. We cleaned all the catch basins. We put in new restrictors. We also found that there was some debris in there. It wasn't a lot. We also saw that there were cracks, some cracks in the sewers that we suggest that it should be lined. There's no cave-ins or anything like that creating any type of blockages. And once again, my main theory here is to disconnect the downspouts, and if they have tree root issues, that maybe they should get some tree root treatment from their hardware store, and that should help them out pretty much.
Okay, let's go through that if we could, Tom, just a little bit step by step for people who may not be acquainted with it. When you're talking about disconnecting downspouts, you're talking about removing a section of the downspout. The downspout is the pipe that goes from the roof gutter system on their home down into the ground. And in the old days, Chicago required that all downspouts go into the ground where they're connected to the private drain that feeds the sewer. What happens is when these immensely heavy rains come, the 2 and 3 inch an hour type rains, the sewer fills up and the water begins to come up the private drain, and the average roof in a storm like that is receiving about 500 gallons per hour of water, and is all going down the downspout into what would be what's a full sewer, which means that it has no place to go, and that's when it comes into people's basements. So what you're saying is that a primary strategy here is to disconnect the downspout, which is taking out a section of that downspout, plugging the hole with a cap that you can get at Home Depot or you know, any home improvement store, and there's also an attachment that you put on the upper part of the downspout that's now just pouring right next to your foundation, but you don't want that to happen. You don't want to either be flooding your neighbors or compromising your own foundation, so these attachments carry the water away from the house and into the yard. And my understanding, Tom, is that it takes about a threshold of 50% of the residents on a block to disconnect their downspouts for it to appreciably reduce the amount of risk of basement flooding. Am I right so far?
Yes, that's correct, Tom.
Okay. And the next thing you said that I found pretty interesting was tree roots. And tree roots, as you've told me in the past, tend to look for any source of water, and they're pretty smart about it, so they insinuate themselves into sewer pipes. And what you're suggesting is that there's a chemical that's available, pretty well branded at local hardware stores, and if you do it maybe once every 6 months or so, pour it down the toilet, basically, and I just send it into the private drain that is likely to crystallize the tree roots, and they break off.
That's correct.
Okay. Are there other things that people should be doing, or and are there ways that they should be addressing things like foundation cracks that might let water in?
Well, foundation cracks, if they're getting seepage, maybe they should call PermaSeal or someone like that to seal their cracks. That would prevent the water from coming in from the foundations. And then if they do have their downspouts disconnected and they're getting the water possibly from there, they should probably take that downspout and take it a little further away from the foundation.
Okay. Anything I'm missing here?
No, I don't think so, Tom. I think you covered everything.
Okay, and Sid, what have you been able to find by looking at the computer models and looking at the maps that show us how the sewers run?
Well, I'm looking at the local sewers in Lowell Street. They have as an 18-inch sewer in Lowell. It flows from 87th Street to 88th Street, and from there it flows west to Halstead. And in Lowell from 88th Street to 90th Street, it flows south to 90th Street and flows west to Halstead. So everything discharges to this big interceptor in Halstead, which is a 6-foot diameter sewer. as far as the local sewers are concerned, it looks okay, except for possibly from in Lowell from 87th to 88th Street. What happens there is sewers in 87th Street from about Emerald to Eggleston are picking up the street and the frontage along the south side of 87th Street, and that water all goes down low from 87th to 88th Street. So we're looking at possibly relieving, putting a new sewer in Lowell from 87th to 88th Street to help that situation, alleviate some of the flooding in that block. Possibly 2014, 2015 construction. This is just a conceptual thing right now. It needs further engineering study and to see if it's a feasible project, but we're looking at that. We'll be looking at that in the future.
Is there something that residents in the area can do in the meantime and along that block particularly to spread the word and maybe get people on 87th Street or in a larger area to disconnect and prevent some of that water from heading down low?
At this time, that's the best thing they could do, if they could discharge their downspouts of grade, and they can do that as long as it doesn't encroach upon their neighbor's property.
And what area are we talking about that it goes beyond this stretch from 8700 to 8900 South Low blocks? We're talking something north of that, right?
Actually, 87th Street is the watershed boundary. There, 87th Street is at the upper end of the watershed. Everything flows south to Calumet Treatment Plant. So that's why we know that this area is not particularly a good area. And I mentioned before that interceptor in Halsted Street. It's a big 6-foot sewer that flows south to down Halsted to 97th Street, and then it connects to the MWRD interceptor. We know that this area is a problem, and even if we put a new sewer in Lowell, that's not going to solve the problem completely, because this whole area is not a very good area, and to solve this, it's going to be a regional issue where you'd have to put in deep tunnels and all kinds of, and spend hundreds of millions of dollars in infrastructure to solve flooding in this area, and that's why it's not feasible at this time.
Well, you're losing me a little bit, Sid. What I'm trying to get from you is, what can residents do, and over what range of geography? What's the limits of where people should be persuading their neighbors to disconnect downspouts? You've told me you've talked in technical terms that have lost me just a little bit. So I guess I'll ask you again: if downspout disconnection is everybody's best strategy, obviously in the 8700 block of South Low, that's a great idea. But you're saying water's coming from other sources as well, or side streets, or beyond that one block. So where are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about the down low from 87th to 90th Street. That's the local sewers.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see, it's probably all the way to Eggleston, because it looks like the watershed extends from Eggleston. From Eggleston to Halsted, everything flows to the west. So anybody in Eggleston to Halsted, 87th to 90th, they should all look at disconnecting their downspouts to benefit this whole area.
Okay, and there's not a city-side solution in terms of new construction or anything like that, even on the books at this point, as we're looking at 2014 or 15, even if we decide to go ahead with it.
Right, that's the best we can do at this time.
Okay, are there other steps people can take, or are you just telling us that we're bound to see a lot of flooding?
That's what Tom was saying. That's about the best we can do at this point, disconnect
mm-hmm.
downspouts.
And how likely, Tom, is the downspout disconnection likely to work? Is that going to keep people's basements dry? I mean, we know there's never a guarantee against flooding, but and if you get an 8-inch rain like we got on July 23rd, everybody's going to flood. But is this going to have some appreciable impact on people's dry basements?
Well, it's hard to say, Tom. It would decrease the volume of water going into the sewers, by quite a bit, so it would help somewhat.
Yeah, the only surefire way, Tom, is overhead sewers or flood control, right?
Sure. The best way is an overhead sewer always. And if you can't afford that, then you could put a flood control out in front of the house, and that'll stop the water from coming in, and it'll still let the water go out.
What we're talking about there is there's two systems that you can put into an individual home that can reduce flooding, keep water out of the home, and they're both pretty effective, but they're also pretty expensive. One is about $5,000 in cost, and that's the second one that Tom was mentioning, which is a flood control system. It's basically a flap in the private drain that allows water to go out but not in, and it costs about $5,000. And the other is an overhead sewer, which basically brings water up to the point where it would have to be an enormous flood for anything to come up that high to flood the basement. But that costs about $15,000 to put in. There's also a third strategy that people can use individually, and that's a standpipe. Standpipes are difficult, as I understand it, or hazardous, because they can, if you make them too tall, the water pressure can cause damage to pipes below and buckle the floor and that kind of thing. Isn't that right?
Yes, that's correct, Tom. What can happen is that the pipes burst, and if they burst, the water could come up through the cracks in the foundation, or from any weak point where there's no integrity, it can come up right through the floor and come right into the basement as well.
Okay, and there's another strategy that we haven't touched on yet, and that's rain gardens. And as I understand it from the Center for Neighborhood Technology and from people inside the city, rain gardens are enormously effective because they hold water away from the sewer. They're planted. Basically, it's a garden that you hollow out a basin in the dirt, plant plants that are chosen for their ability to absorb and hold water, enormous amounts of water. You can strategically place a rain garden in a location where it's catching the water from a disconnected downspout, and it will hold that water, not let it near the sewer. You might have a day or so of standing water, but these plants are designed to take that and also to thrive in arid conditions. So they look a little weedy. They're a little bit of work to put in. It's not as simple as a flower garden. But once they're there, they're pretty easy to maintain, and we'll come out with engineers from the city and from the Center for Neighborhood Technology to help people understand where rain gardens are going to be most effective, whether it's across 2 yards and it's a thing that neighbors do together. But it's that's another good strategy. Anything I'm missing, folks?
No, not on my end, Tom.
Okay. Well, what I'd like to suggest is that this is a summary of what we've been able to find on the block and the real situation on South Lowe. As we mentioned at our earlier meetings and conversations with Mr. Allen and others, what we're trying to do is form a partnership to make informed decisions, and this is the information that we have to work with. But the adventure isn't over. If people want to disconnect downspouts, which appears to be the most likely way to keep water out of the basement, we're happy to work with you on that. We'll be able to help you understand which downspouts ought to be disconnected. They can be... what you don't want to do is flood your neighbors or compromise your own foundation. You can't send the water into somebody else's yard. But we'll take a look and be able to advise you on that, and I'll help you organize neighbors, and I'll attend meetings evenings and weekends. Our engineers and experts don't come out at those hours, but I do. And so I'd like to invite anybody who has additional questions beyond what we've discussed today is to give me a call directly. My name is Tom LaPorte, and my number is 312-742-1029. You can call Mr. Allen, and we're working with the Alderman's office and with the Block Club, and we'll do everything possible to help facilitate unity and a collective effort on this. We can also find ways to achieve discounts. I mean, for instance, with a rain garden, we know where you can find plants for $2 each that you would be paying $15 for at a Home Depot or a garden center. So there's lots of reasons for us all to continue working together, but feel free to give me a call, and we'll be seeing each other soon, I'm sure. And gentlemen, I'd like to thank you all very much for being part of this and for the efforts you've taken to help these blocks on South Lowe both understand what's happening in terms of basement flooding and what we all can do about it. So thank you very much, and I guess that's good for this call. Thank you.
All right. Bye.